Dear reader, I've been writing a diary since the age of 9. My desire to record what was going on around me may have been an early sign of my chosen profession, although I didn't realise it at the time. It was 1978. I'd never heard of the word reporter, let alone knew what one did. If you'd told me then that I'd end up working as a journalist for the BBC, there's no way I'd have believed you. On Monday the 23rd of January of that year, according to the entry in my pale blue Walt Disney diary, with Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse on the front cover, I wrote to Swap Shop. On Tuesday the 24th of January 1978, I posted the letter to Swap Shop. What a year. Swap Shop, by the way, was a hugely successful Saturday morning children's TV programme on the BBC. After documenting my primary school life on and off for those 12 months, it became a ritual. Receive a diary for Christmas, start writing it on the 1st of January, and keep going till the year ended. The teenage years were often about what I wore on a Friday night out, and not just a record of my blouses and pedal pushers, but what Leela, Rachel, Joanne, Andrea, and Elizabeth were wearing too. It was the 1980s, after all. Plus, each Sunday evening, I listed in my diary the top 10 singles as I listened to the chart countdown on Radio 1. Waiting to discover what was number one, live, was exciting. And boys. There's loads about boys I fell in love with, particularly from 1982 to 1986. Andrew V, Bim, Steve Someone. Very occasionally, I filled a whole page with three words. Nothing happened today. Sometimes so much happened, usually when I fancied someone or was at a gig, that I sellotaped extra sheets of blank paper to the bottom of the page so I'd have space to write about every deliciously insignificant detail, folding the sheet neatly up inside when completed. I don't read them ever. I just have them in chronological order, taking up a lot of space, tidily though, in my wardrobe. There's something about having them that makes me feel secure. A record, however imperfectly kept, of things I've done, people I've met, emotions I've experienced. Yet I never expected to write in one of my diaries, "I have breast cancer." Scribbling those words in black pen in my 2015 journal was brutal, devastating. Writing it down was confirmation that it really was happening to me. Suddenly, this habit of diary keeping I'd begun as a child became much more important to me, because recording the details of this unwanted experience gave me a semblance of control in my life at a time when control had been taken from me. This book is based on my diaries from the summer of 2015 to the summer of 2016. Documented in real time as events unfolded. When I read the entries back for the first time, I cried, because I'd forgotten or blanked out some details. The journals are pretty matter of fact, because that's what I'm like, and most of my energy was focused on getting through the grueling treatment that was going to save my life. I've used the diaries as a framework, adding in-depth reflections. I've included other bits too, letters, emails, cards, and transcripts, which give an idea of what else was going on in my life and work during that time. After one mastectomy, 6 sessions of chemotherapy, and 30 doses of radiotherapy, the NHS staff told me there was no evidence of active cancer left. I know I'm one of the lucky ones, and for that I'm exceptionally grateful. Yet many people now survive cancer. Something you don't know when you're initially diagnosed. Then, in that moment, you automatically assume you're going to die. That's one of the reasons there's a stigma around the illness. Conversations are often awkward or whispered because few dare ask if it's going to kill you, even if you happen to know the answer yourself. I knew I wanted to be open about having this disease. I wanted to show that you don't have to be timid when talking about cancer. We don't lower our voices if someone has Parkinson's or dementia, So why should cancer have such power over us? It's an illness. The NHS treat it to the best of their abilities, and depending on your diagnosis, you'll deal with it one way or another. It's the reason I've written this book, to share my own experience, not only to demystify the various treatments I endured, but also to let you know what the reality of having cancer was like for me. I found that, to my surprise, I could go to work sometimes, pick the children up from school, drink wine, all the while going through a strict treatment regimen. Not every element of my life had to be put on hold, something I didn't know until I got the disease. This book is my account of how I approached my diagnosis and treatment. There are many ways to deal with both of those, and this is the way I did it. I'm not saying it's the right way, it's just my way. It's for every mum, daughter, sister, wife, brother, husband, dad, and son whose life has been touched in some way by cancer. I hope it will give you strength and courage. Love, Victoria.